Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, we are. Hope wherever you are, you're having a fantastic Monday. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff hanging out with you. And what a game last night. Miami evens the series. Perloff at one game apiece. We'll talk about the momentum shifting and Miami wrestling the momentum back from Denver. But
wait, the same Miami team you said was dead and toast the other day?
I'm still Miami in five.
You mean Denver in five?
Excuse me, Denver in five. Yes, I'm still Denver in five.
Now you're still Denver in five.
I'm still Denver in five.
I like it.
And here's why. I'll tell you why. I'm not going to bury it for you. Here's why. That was the wake-up call that Denver needed.
Okay.
They got out-hustled in that game.
Yeah.
They got out-smarted in the game. The Miami's role players hit every shot. Denver's role players were not as big of a factor in making some dumb decisions, stupid fouls, things like that. This was the wake-up call where Denver just saw, hey, we're the one seed. We're the best team in the NBA. And there's a possibility here that we get punked by, yes, a very good eighth seed, but by the Miami Heat. That can't happen. You can't have the two-time MVP, who's now the greatest player who's ever lived. You've noticed that's happened, right, with Jokic.
Yeah.
He went from the anonymous superstar to now the greatest NBA player in the history of mankind.
All you need is one more game where Miami shoots close to 50% from three, which sounds outlandish, but they've been doing that all postseason. You know Miami's going to get hot at least one more time. So I think they make it a longer. I'm not bold enough to pick the Heat to win this thing.
Yeah.
But you have to admit, at least admit, Maggie, it crossed your mind last night that, hey, wait a second. I've been not counting this Miami team in all postseason. Just maybe they could do this. Or didn't even cross your mind?
Well, I was big on Miami against Boston. But so was everybody when they went up 3-0. But here's the thing. I think that Miami met the moment. And I don't know if Denver has yet been forced to meet the moment, and now they have to. They have, so far this entire postseason, they have not played a road game tied. Like, they have not experienced this kind of adversity, if you will. And Miami has been living with adversity. I mean, every part of Miami's journey through these playoffs has been improbable, counted out, I guess, except for the Knicks series. You know, people betting against them, having to, you know, be resilient, these backs against the wall things, and Denver hasn't had to do any of that yet.
Well, yeah, but you could also argue that Joker and Jamal Murray are both shooting really well. What if one of them got, I mean, doesn't happen a lot. What if one of them got cold just one game? That kills your gentleman sweep. Just one of them. I mean, Joker just throws the ball in the general direction of the backboard, and it hits something and goes in. I understand what you're saying. I do like Denver as well. But, man, Miami has just got this magical element. We keep counting them out, and they keep defying all expectations. They're short. They're inconsistent. They're not really deep at all, but somehow somebody steps up all the time.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why all of a sudden Heat culture takes on this mythic kind of thing, because it's hard to explain it. But then it kind of is. But then you kind of can explain it, though. You can explain it by Spoelstra making good adjustments.
Well, by the way, on that,
yeah.
I'm the one, I said put in Kevin Love in game one. Why was that a good adjustment? Why was it Kevin Love in game one? Why did you have Gabe Vincent covering Aaron Gordon? So that wasn't some genius coaching move. That was common sense.
Well, how about this? Kevin Love, I thought it was really like a back issue, because he also didn't play game six or game seven against Boston.
Right.
So he hadn't played in three games. He goes into the starting lineup, plays 22 minutes, and is the team's leading.
Yeah, that was a huge adjustment, but I feel like Spoelstra shouldn't get credit for that, because you had about four guards on the court against a gigantic Denver team. Anyway, so you're right. Spoelstra makes adjustments. All that stuff could happen again, Maggie. You know what? I think you need to start believing in the Heat a little more.
I mean, listen, I love the Heat for making this interesting. They are very easy to root for. I find during the game, like when they got down by 15 points in the second quarter, yeah, and it was like 50-35, you're like, oh man, like don't do this. If there's one team I think can come back and actually make it a game, it is Miami. They're never rolling over. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody would in the finals, but I think they intimidate people. I do, because they are a smart team. I do think they intimidate people.
They're not intimidating the Nuggets. You think they are?
I think there's an intimidating factor about Miami because there's like a desperation that they play with. Maybe it's with all the guys who are undrafted, or it's like some kind of different thing they have, or the way Jimmy Butler is or sets the tone or comes from Pat Riley. Who knows? But there's like some kind of desperation. You know they're going to be smart, and the only way you beat them is if you just miss shots. With Denver last night, like, you know, they're fouling three-point shooters left and right. I mean, there's just all these things that Miami just doesn't seem to.
Yeah, I think that Denver looked at it and said, well, we're a way better team. They just got hot from three. That was the only. And that's, by the way, today's NBA. I mean, some team, it's hard to sweep anyone because everyone gets hot from three. So, yeah, I kind of don't think Denver is scared. I think they think we're a way better team. You saw at the end of the game last night, they finally woke up and said, whoa, we're about to lose this game.
Let's
drop a bunch of points on them at the end and make it interesting. So I think it's just a matter of Miami's shooting. Are they going to be able to have this incredible hot clip? I mean, Gabe Vincent, he looked like Steph Curry last night.
I know.
He took over the Caleb Martin thing, and now there's a new Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent. It doesn't make any sense.
How about Duncan Robinson?
Duncan Robinson.
10 straight points. How about Bam?
How about Duncan Robinson scoring points in the paint? Have you ever seen Duncan Robinson in his entire life hit a layup?
And it was fun points in the paint. It's like the guy's,
yeah, guys
constantly
on him,
moving, and he's like getting to the rim. He's mean mugging. He's flexing. Want to listen to Jimmy Butler?
Love listening to Jimmy Butler.
All right, let's listen to a little Jimmy about the difference really between the Heat and everyone else.
I just think nobody cares on our team. We're not worried about what anybody thinks. We're so focused in on what we do well and who we are as a group that at the end of the day, that's what we fall back on, and that's not going to change. So that's what I think it is. I think it's the I don't give a damn factor.
You know what's funny? I think I was like, oh, Jimmy, he's just, you know, everybody says that about the Heat or this or that. You and I talked to George Karl on Friday when we were filling in for Jim Rome. And thanks again to everyone from Jim Rome. That was a lot of fun. But George Karl joined us, the former, you know, head coach of the Nuggets and the Hall of Famer. And he said he thought that, you know, there was a moment where Miami looked a little shell-shocked, right? Like, oh my gosh, this is the finals. Like the role players when Max Strus goes 0-10.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, and he's talking about, geez, and now all of a sudden you're like playing in the finals where Michael Jordan played and, you know, Magic Johnson and like all these people you might have idolized or whatever. And now it's on you and you like get a little tight. Maybe that is what happened in Miami in game one.
Yep.
And then game two, they are much more comfortable where Strus looked amazing and hit shots early to get the tone going. And Duncan Robinson and Gabe Vincent.
They jumped out early to have this huge lead. Then the Nuggets pulled it close at the end of the first quarter. Then the Nuggets took off in the second quarter and had a 15-point lead. You mentioned earlier in the segment. I do not understand how Miami won the game after that. It still doesn't, like, logically, I can't put it together. That run in the fourth quarter was so unexpected to me because Denver usually has that altitude advantage in the fourth quarter. And Miami, all of a sudden, Butler woke up.
Yep.
Adebayo did not miss a free throw. They did everything right. You're right. They don't seem to make the mistakes that other teams make. I don't think the Nuggets made that many mistakes last night. Porter played terrible, and KCP didn't show up.
Well, and KCP fouling three-point shooters. I mean,
yeah,
and here was,
that's true.
There was even a moment with Joker who, you know, again, God's gift to basketball. Never seen anyone as good as Nikola Jokic. All of a sudden, he's better than Jordan. He's the best player. Have you guys noticed that the pendulum has swung really the other way? Nikola Jokic, never heard of him. Now Nikola Jokic, how did basketball exist without him? But anyway, there was a moment where he picked up, I believe, his second foul, and he thought it was BS, and they were chirping at the refs all night, and there were a couple of bad calls, but they're chirping at the refs. He picks up the second foul, and 30 seconds later picked up the third because he just swatted Adebayo across the head. And
that's
a frustration foul from Jokic. Like, even he was kind of losing his cool a little bit out there.
It was the free path foul where he wrapped his arm around Bam and they looked at it. I still don't understand those calls at all.
Neither does Van Gundy.
But Van Gundy's going back and forth on whether it's a flagrant or not has now become the high comedy. He's like, well, I think it's all flagrant. What, by the way, flagrant fouls. There was one where Aaron Gordon just ran through a pick and they reviewed it to see if it was flagrant. The NBA is so soft right now, but that's regardless. So I think that Joker is God's gift to basketball. I think you are underestimating him by even questioning this.
I'm afraid lightning is going to strike me down dead in the studio. I'm not questioning it. I'm just saying the pendulum has swung pretty hard on Joker here.
Yes, because it's the first time most of us have watched this many Joker games in a row. Yeah. I saw the ratings have been not as bad as I thought. So I think the world is... I do think the world is meeting Joker for the first time because no one saw him in the bubble. And because Jamal Murray's been hurt, they haven't really done much in the playoffs. So this is really, to see him do it at this level consistently, come on, it's impressive, Maggie. And I feel like you would be
I'm
a little sarcastic
impressed.
There.
I'm being 100% sarcastic, but I'm impressed so much that I still have the Nuggets in five.
Okay.
I still think that Jokic is, he is incredible. He really is. And now we're asking you if you think momentum has changed in the series. Perloff says absolutely yes. I say absolutely no. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Okay, a lot more to get to. We're already getting questions in the chat, by the way, if you want to watch the show, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio, about your big basketball tournament this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I wasn't going to bring it up. I see Nick in Texas has the details, the receipts. I
mean, yeah.
Well, he looked like it was pretty bad. Maybe save that. Let's save it.
It was way worse than Nick even knows.
Oh, boy.
It was lack of...
You guys were holding practices and everything, though. You took this seriously.
It wasn't just the lack of team success. The lack of individual success was glaring.
Oh, no. Oh. You were the weak link. Okay, save it.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
We'll save it.
Confidence is a thing, and I lost it hardcore on Saturday.
Oh, no. We have no video of this? How do we not have video? I should have driven out there myself.
I'm sorry, I'll just tease it real quick. There was a white men can't jump moment where pretty much everybody was like, what's our game plan if guns start showing up at this? Because there was a massive brawl between two teams.
Wait a minute. I thought this was like a legitimate tournament in the suburbs.
The suburbs. That was in Queens. It was Long Island City.
Okay, different kind of suburb.
Yeah, no, this was not the suburbs. this got super heated. There were teams from different parts of the city, and we didn't belong there. We got destroyed. But this was not pretty.
Wow. Okay. A lot more to the story than we ever thought. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We start with the NBA Finals. And then, you know, because the basketball just can never give us a moment to breathe, the most hilarious story you'll ever hear is coming your way next. I mean, how did it take even this long? What is it, June 5th? How did it even take till June 5th for this kind of ridiculousness to make its way into the NBA world? Honestly, I'm stunned. So we'll get to that in just a minute. Maggie and Perloff, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, hanging out with you across the country on our CBS Sports Radio affiliates. We love them. Also, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio is where you can watch the show. A lot more to do. Don't move. The show rolls on in just moments.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
So, it's funny you played this song. I bought a new book this weekend. It's the history of the Beastie Boys.
Nice.
And it just looks so good. I mean, every middle-aged guy is going to die for this book. But it was it's interesting. It started out and it had this line. This is why I bought it. Because it said, every group of friends has, you know, the person you love to party with, okay, the person that you like to sort of confide in, like your good friend. I don't know if you have a friend like this who you tell your secrets and your sort of worries. And then there's the friend who inspires everybody to do things, to be great. I don't know if your group has that. We have that. I'm not that guy in my group, but I wish I was.
Who are you in the group?
I am the guy you confide in.
Probably. You're the vault.
Right.
Yeah.
But I was thinking Jimmy Butler is definitely the guy that inspires everyone to be great. That was my connection.
Okay.
So Ad Rock was saying that, I think Adam Yoke, one or the other, was the guy that made everybody wanted to be great. So it's funny. I've been thinking about that all weekend long, that every group has that one guy. And I think that's why the Heat kind of defy logic, because they have Jimmy Butler and he makes everybody have this attitude.
Okay, but is it Butler or is that person Riley?
Well, that could be.
Because it doesn't come from Riley, and Jimmy Butler's really just who you want to party with. I mean, he looks pretty fun on those beer commercials.
Well, that sound we played in the first segment where he's like, nobody, you know, we just don't care what you think of us. You're right. That could easily be Riley. I mean,
I always thought Riley set the tone. Spoelstra was sort of the tactician, and I think sets the tone a little bit too. But I always thought it all came from Riley, because I always go back to this one thing. Maggie and Perloff show, by the way. Hey, I always go back to this one thing. Do you remember when LeBron first came to Miami?
Yeah.
With Wade and Bosh. And there was a moment where it was kind of, they had like hit some adversity in the first year before they got to the finals. But they had hit some adversity and it was like LeBron and Spoelstra like bumped each other.
Yeah,
after
I do remember
the
that.
Timeout.
Got into it. Yep,
I know
this
seems like minutia, but you might remember what I'm talking about. And they like bumped each other and it was like a hard bump, like kind of like maybe there was a little bit more to it. And Spoelstra didn't like back down or anything. And I always thought it was because Riley was the one who had his back. Mm. Like, hey, Riley, like Spoelstra's not going anywhere. He's a great coach and he has my seal of approval. And nobody's going to come and circumvent Spoelstra and try to get him fired. Like what happens every day, it seems like, in the NBA, where superstars go over the head of the coach and get them fired. We see all these coaches getting fired all the time. And I always thought that Riley having the back of Spoelstra always really mattered. Maybe that was the beginning, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
10 years later.
Right. Did Gabe Vincent and Caleb Martin and those guys really, are they really impacted by Pat Riley? That's what I wonder. Because I think you could, I mean, I think a lot of people think it's Butler.
I think Butler's like an extension of Riley.
Butler has this cool about him that is sort of unique. That being said, they haven't won a title, so it's not like we're anointing them a little bit.
Wait, on this show, who are the people with your Beastie Boys comparison? So on this show, me, you, Samper, Stu.
Don't make me do this.
Who's the F, Mary Kill here? Who are we giving? I'm sending all of my secrets to Stu.
Yes, Stu.
Stu, all right. You're a vault.
Thanks.
Perloff, I think you're a vault, too.
No. Well, I'll tell my wife.
Well, that's a spousal thing. You gotta do it.
See, what you're overlooking here with Stu, though, is Stu is very close friends with Gallo, and Gallo talks to everybody.
Oh, right.
So Stu might be a vault, but if he lets one thing slip to the wrong person,
it's over.
It's over.
Yeah.
Then the world knows. So I trust Stu, but I also don't trust who he associates with.
Ooh. I would party with Samter. I think Samter would be the party person.
10 years ago.
He still got it in me.
Yeah, I got a little bit in me.
Yeah.
And so I think Perloff aspires to be better. Maybe you are the Jimmy Butler.
No way. There's no way I'm that.
He's a very optimistic, positive person. So he does, like, whether he's doing it on purpose.
No. But honestly, I think as a show, we're not quite where we need to be in terms of Miami Heatness. Our Heat culture.
Our Heat culture could use a little work.
I think we're more like talented. I think we're like the Phoenix Suns. Like,
I don't like that.
Yeah. No, like Kevin Durant and Booker.
Okay.
You're Kevin Durant. I'm Booker.
I don't want to be Durant. I'll be Booker.
Well, I just think that we haven't won the championship yet, so I think we have more to aspire to.
Yeah.
I think honestly.
What if we get 1,000 new YouTube subscribers? Then can we upgrade from Phoenix to Miami?
Yes, I like that. Do you guys think we're Miami? You think we're playing, you know, like we're hitting 60% of our threes against the Denver Nuggets? I don't know if we're there yet. I think
maybe not on a consistent basis, but I think we can get there.
I think we can. I guess Spike would be our Pat Riley.
I think Spike's our Pat Riley.
Spike, our boss, would be our Pat Riley. Dave Marinick, the associate program manager, would be, who's he, Spoelstra?
He could be Spoelstra. Who's the Heat mascot? Because Dave would be great. He's like so positive. He's like, guys are doing a great job.
Who's going to be Zoe, the sort of mean looking guy in who looks great in a suit on the sideline sitting next to Ryan?
The enforcer?
Yeah.
Or Zoe and our Udonis Haslam.
Dave Marinick is the opposite of Zoe.
Dave is not our enforcer.
Their mascot is Bernie. B-U-R-N-I-E, like burn.
Perfect.
Yeah. So Marinick is Bernie.
Who's our enforcer at CBS Sports Radio? Who's the muscle around here?
Wow.
Zach Gelb.
Is Zach, though? He's kind Zach's, of a lover, not a fighter, right?
No. Zach actually blocked me one day when he was filling in for you. Like an offensive lineman blocking a pass rusher.
I thought you meant like blocking on social media.
No. He hit me in the shoulders, and I thought we were messing around. And I was in pain for a good 3 days. So
wow, okay.
Zach could be the enforcer. He's a Zoe.
Okay.
I like that.
All right. It'll have to be Zoe and Udonis, even though he's younger than us.
So, okay. All right. I like where this is going. And I'm Caleb Martin against Boston.
Yep. What are you, Caleb Martin, in game two?
No, I'm Gabe Vincent.
Yes, there you
Although
go.
I still get
classic
the two confused.
Perloff band.
I mean, let's be honest. I'm Kevin Love. I couldn't possibly be more Kevin Love.
Great passer, though, Kevin Love. Those outlet passes.
Oh, those outlet passes are killer.
855-212-4CBS. Mark is in Miami. We'll get to the crazy NBA story that made us laugh, cry, roll our eyes. We'll get to that in a moment. Yeah. Mark, what's up? How you doing, dude?
What's up, guys? Yeah, I predicted the Heat at 27. I know I'm the only guy who's going out on a major limb predicting that, but I felt like game one, I thought the Nuggets were going to take handle, but I think what Spoelstra is a master tactician, is the best to coach in the league, is his adjustments in game two. And I knew game two, they came out firing away, but yeah. You knew the Nuggets at home, that's why they haven't lost up until last night at home, is they come out and jump on you right away, but the Heat came out right away. I love the way that Vincent Scrooge really came out. He was the key because he was a no-show in game one.
Yeah.
And then you figure the Nuggets were going to make their run, take the lead. And I just love the way the fourth quarter is, the way that Spo has really instilled confidence in Duncan Robinson, who's completely out of the rotation. And, you know, even though Tyler Hero is out, and that's why majority reason why he's playing. Still, I love the way the guy's balling. I mean, I know he got a contract.
Mark,
a lot of
people. Let's pause on Hero for a second, right? Because again, courtside, another bucket hat.
Love
this
it.
Guy must have a lifetime supply of Mark.
Yeah, he always dresses like that. He's got a flashy. That's why Jack Harlow made that song about him, the Tyler Hero song. But guys, it's just incredible. I think Ben Albino, I know you're not going to stop Joker, but I think he's playing as well as you can play the guy. And offensively, he's making him work, which Joker really doesn't like to do. Is Bam, when he's physical, he's one of the best bigs in the league. You just don't see it. But I love the way they came out.
Mark,
and then
Mark, question.
Closing out that game, yeah.
Don't you think something looks off with Jimmy Butler? Maggie and I were talking about
this. He came to life down in a couple of minutes of the stretch there. He's the one to really ice the game away. So I know he's really come out kind of flat, but I think the guys – He really has played like that because he hasn't been aggressive lately, which I think he wants to get guys like Vincent and Struce and Bam really going before he starts to take over the game. And you saw that down the stretch of the fourth quarter. But I think you're going to see games 3 and 4 in Miami here. He's going to really attack, be in attack mode, and really start to take over the games. Guys, I feel good. I think
you think this is classic. We're getting classic Jimmy Butler. Mark, you're the best. Thank you. You're getting some more classic, air quotes, Jimmy Butler games back in Miami.
Maybe, but I think he's lost some confidence because until he got a really good foul call and saw a couple foul free throws go through, until then he had no faith in his outside shot. He just didn't think he could hit it.
Well, that's the funny thing about Miami, right? It's always like, keep passing, the best shot. And sometimes I'm like, well, or just take the shot.
No, I mean, they're begging Jimmy to shoot from outside and he's not doing it. I think that his shot has been, I mean, his scoring is way, way down. So there's got to be something going on.
8 points in the fourth quarter last night, obviously. But for the game, 21.
Yeah, 21 and 13 in two finals games. This is a guy who's scoring 40 a game against Milwaukee. Something, I think his ankle is hurting him because he couldn't even finish around the basket, which he's usually amazing at.
Tyler Hero is an interesting one. We'll get to that in just a moment because what do you do with Hero? Do you bring him back?
You know, great
game
question.
Game three, he's coming off of a broken hand. Like, you've been really good without him, but I don't think this is some BS Ewing theory like a Bill Simmons thing where they're better because he's on the bench. I just think other guys have stepped up.
But I think that's a legitimate question.
Okay, so this was something, I got to be honest, you could have given me 1,000 guesses and I wouldn't have come to this conclusion today. How about this fun one from Shams Charania of The Athletic, who drops this tweet earlier today. Sources: Kyrie Irving has reached out to the Lakers star LeBron James in an attempt to see if James would come to Dallas. Irving is a free agent this offseason, period, and then just drops that on all of our laps.
Great.
What universe does Kyrie Irving live in? I mean, I know he's on another planet, one that doesn't have edges, but what planet is he on that he thinks that this is going to possibly work? What does he know that we don't know? Is this just like throwing something up against the wall and hoping it sticks? Or does he really have intel? Because there is no reason for LeBron to leave to go to Dallas. If anything, just bring Kyrie to L.A.
Well, I mean, what's wrong with asking for LeBron to come to your team? He's not the GM. He can say whatever he wants.
But why would LeBron? This is too many obstacles. First of all, you'd have to trade for him. He's got a year and then an option year left on his deal. His kid just signed up to go to USC, presumably, so he'll be in L.A.
Well, I mean, the argument is you have a better chance to win a title in Dallas because you have Luka, Kyrie, and LeBron.
But do you? Is that a title team?
I don't think so. I mean, they might get out of the first round.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Dallas didn't make the playoffs this year, and I know a lot of that was tied into the draft pick, and Dallas eventually just waved the white flag on the season. But I mean, is Luka shown that he can actually be a winning player? And he's dribble, 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 shoot. LeBron's not going to want to play with that.
Well, maybe not. I mean, he played with Kyrie, who's that kind of style in Cleveland. So then you have three of those guys. Chris Haynes from Bleacher Reports, Turner Sports, also reported on this. He said that the Mavs put together a serious offer for LeBron when the Lakers were struggling last year, which I did not realize. So there is, the Mavericks have this feel. They often get in on the biggest names. They're like the San Diego Padres of the NBA. Yeah. I'm not saying they get them. So I can understand the Mavs. I'm sure there's 50 times where Mark Cuban said, what's the plan? How are we going to get LeBron? Now, logistically, this is not going to happen. But what if LeBron goes to L.A.? I'm not staying here. I'm pulling an Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to retire unless you trade me. Then maybe, is there at least
he should have his head
exploration?
You just got to the Western Conference Finals. And granted, you got swept. That was not pretty. But as the world now is learning that Nikola Jokic is the best player to ever hold a basketball, you can understand that the Nuggets were light years ahead of L.A. But L.A. had just made these trades at the trade deadline, brought in some new pieces, elevated some role players, and kind of found their stride a little bit more. Does that look like a team you want to abandon right now?
Oh, Maggie, with your common sense.
How
dare you talk about the NBA and bring out all these logical points, not to mention the new salary cap, which makes this utterly impossible. Now, could you see LeBron has made some bad personnel decisions in his life?
Yes.
I mean, one of the worst ones that we all knew was bringing Russell Westbrook to the Lakers last year. Yeah. And that was his decision. Now, if you can make a decision that disastrous, maybe you can rejoin Kyrie. And it does seem like he wants to be with Kyrie, which in my opinion is a bad idea because Kyrie's just lack of durability, lack of consistency, lack of accountability. I don't think Kyrie will be there in the end of the day. So I think that's a mistake. But if he made the Westbrook mistake, I mean, is there anything he's not capable of, Maggie?
That's why I said the moment that the Lakers season ended, I said keep LeBron and keep him as far away from the front office as humanly possible. I mean, you got to take how many phones do you think LeBron owns? 10? Throw them all into the Pacific Ocean. Don't let him call anybody. Don't let him text anybody. Great player, terrible general manager.
I do love his dad tweets at night when he's watching TV.
He's like clearly like on the John or watching basketball. Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, he's just like the rest of us. He's like, he's like, yeah, hey, what's the deal with that call in the Broncos game or something? It's so LeBron. It's such a dad.
I know. Now we got Taco Tuesday commercials. I mean, it never ends. And I'm a huge LeBron fan, but this would just be terrible. I mean, the only person this really works out for is Kyrie, because he would get to stay in Dallas where they can offer him a max contract where he gets like over $200 million. And Luka gets his money, obviously. And then LeBron's the one who finishes out the contract, what, $46 million, then $50 for the next year?
It's a lot of money. Well, here's the thing, though. If you're the Lakers, and you could clear $33 million of cap space. I've heard numbers in the low 30s to 35. If you call Kyrie and say, will you come here for less money, what do you think Kyrie Irving says?
Does he want to win?
I tell you right now, Kyrie has shown no interest in taking less money.
Probably not.
I don't think he's the kind of guy who would do that.
Well, to be fair, I mean, a lot of people wouldn't.
That's true, but we're talking about Kyrie here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like, is everything like new age and trying to find a different plane to be on to, you know, play basketball at the highest level? Or is it about getting max contracts? It's probably a little bit of both. I guess, also, can someone give me the last time the Lakers tried to jettison an aging star? I mean, the Shaq thing was because he and Kobe didn't get along. That's not because they wanted to get rid of Shaq. That was because they had to make a choice between Shaq and Kobe.
Dwight Howard, where did he go from there? I don't even remember.
But Dwight Howard was like, his back was broken.
Well, you said an aging star. I mean,
like, they're not giving up on LeBron.
No.
They're not all of a sudden like, hey, you know what? Let's process this thing. We're the Lakers. Let's get rid of LeBron and Anthony Davis. Let's really start from scratch with Austin Reeves. Well, it's not going to happen.
Probably not. I love it.
I mean.
But do you think last year there was at least a conversation when things were going bad before the trade deadline? They must have at least, if the Mavericks really put together a trade package and call them, they probably thought about it. I'm not saying they did it.
But the Mavericks put together a trade package that, as far as what I could read, was unable to be executed because of the timing of it. LeBron, when he signed the extension, couldn't actually be traded.
Yeah.
So congrats from the front office, whoever put that together and wasted all their
time. I would just love to see. I'd love to be a fly on the wall when the Mavericks are trying to put together their package for LeBron. All right, what do we got? I'm looking at their depth chart. It is such a collection of random players.
Yeah, it's like, can I interest you in a Reggie Bullock?
Reggie Bullock? I mean, these are Frank Ntilikina is on that team? Is that right?
Frankie Smokes? Hell yeah.
Yeah, you got Maxi Kleber, of course, who has been disappointing Mavs fans for a decade now. Christian Wood has been, how many teams has he been on now? Davis Bertans is a Mav? Okay. Josh Green. There's so many guys who are like, oh, that guy's on the Mavs still. Now, Tim Hardaway Jr. is still there, so
yep. Is that any value?
He's got a big contract. Yeah, there's nothing to trade here.
Stu, as a Laker fan, what's your 1 to 10? Are you actually nervous that LeBron's going to abandon ship and go to Dallas?
I got 2.5, maybe. Okay. Yeah, it's pretty low. Like you guys said, Dallas doesn't really have anything to give, so that kind of makes all this, you know, irrelevant, I guess. I don't know.
I love the also report. LeBron James, he loves Jason Kidd. It's like, well, Jason Kidd's in the hot seat. I mean, how long is Jason Kidd going to be there for? I don't get the timing of this. I don't get any of it.
No. I don't think and I've been reading a lot about this today, I do not think the Lakers want Kyrie Irving. You know, they've shown that they're a smart team. Well, the logistics of getting Kyrie Irving.
Well, now he's an unrestricted free agent.
Right. So to pay him what he wants, he'd have to do a sign and trade with Dallas, which Dallas is not going to do.
No.
So already, because unless you could convince Kyrie to come on a bargain deal, which again, I don't think he's the kind of player that does that. There is no way. I think the Lakers, as you earlier said, I think they like what they got going. I think they want to give this a shot. So to get Kyrie, they have to say goodbye to Rui. They have to say goodbye to Schroeder. They have to say goodbye to everyone who played so well in the playoffs. I think they're smart enough not to do that.
Thomas L. in the chat, he'd say I'd sail off the edge of the flat earth before I accept last money. I mean, kind of. Like, how many franchises does Kyrie Irving have to completely submarine before someone's like, maybe I won't give him $200 million?
Eh. I know it's a
players' league, but, like, good grief.
How much money has Kyrie Irving made?
Let's guess.
$400 million?
I was going to say closer to $300.
$300 million.
Just from basketball, not endorsements.
I know people are going to say I'm lying, but, okay, $233 million. I would definitely take less money to win a title because you're right. Win another title. Because your legacy is going to be defined by that. Later in life, when you're on your deathbed, you're going to look back and say, man, if I had just done something to win another title. That's how you define yourselves.
Do you realize how lucky at this point Kyrie Irving would be if his legacy is defined by titles? I mean, that would be a real 180 from all the other things out there that could be defining his legacy at present.
Well, he has a chance to turn it around at the end. I mean, we only remember the last few years of any career. So
he can tweet forever.
So he's 31.
His Instagram account will live from now to the end of, you know, when the AI robots come and all wipe us off the face of the earth.
Well, he made a mistake because he angered the Boston fans, and Boston media runs the NBA media. You know, Bill Simmons, Chris Mannix, et cetera. So I think that was his mistake. I think the media is never going to forgive him for that. But if he puts together one more run, you know, everyone will jump right back on that bandwagon.
Listen, LeBron's already back on his bandwagon. Like, it didn't even take a lot. LeBron's his biggest champion now.
Supposedly. We'll see. We don't really know what LeBron wants. I mean, he's saying wants Kyrie, but I don't see Kyrie in a Lakers uniform. So
not right. Not yet. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. So that one was just a little, made us chuckle today. Not Stu so much. Stu was at a
very serious about this.
At a 2.5. But everyone else laughed. Okay, coming up, one Super Bowl contender adds a big piece, but does it look smart or desperate? We'll get to that in just a moment. It's time to ask the pros, where you can ask us a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio or Maggie and Pearl off, Maggie and Pearl, using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Perloff and I just talking in the break about some NFL stuff that's going on. We'll get you up to speed for a second, but you're like, oh, this guy, he's so shredded.
Yeah, he's like my body double.
Yes, we all say that. We're talking about Leonard Floyd.
Yeah.
Let's just let people in on that. He signed with the Bills, reportedly a one-year deal, and Perloff's like, oh, that guy's always looked so shredded. You know, don't you think...
Sounds weird when you say it like that, but yeah.
Don't you think that having a six-pack... That's genetic, right? I'm like, yeah, I have heard from some athletes that they've had a six-pack for their whole life. Like Simone Biles, the gymnast, once told me that she had a six-pack when she was like two. Like, it's just some kind of weird genetic thing. She always looks like she has a six-pack. She's obviously made of granite as well. Do you think you could actually get a six-pack?
I don't know. I mean, yes, I guess there's got to be a way. I would have to starve myself. And do every exercise under the sun.
Wait, you have to starve yourself for a six-pack? I know you can't eat sugar and carbs and stuff.
Yeah, yes. I think you would definitely have to starve yourself because you have to get rid of all body fat.
Oh, really?
I mean, I don't know. What do you think? How do you think the best way to get a six-pack is?
Well, I'm just wondering, like, could we do, like, do you think that if you and I really tried for a month that one of us could get a six-pack?
No.
No.
I do not think so. No, I've never had a six-pack.
I've never had one either. I've never really tried.
I don't know if I have those muscles under there.
Yeah, under there.
I honestly think either of you could get there in a month.
A month?
Like me, no, because I have a layer of bad things on top of what would be a six-pack underneath it. But you two are both slim, in reasonably good shape, and like you're slim. You don't have to like get rid of like
out a lot.
Yeah, you don't have to like. Get rid of a layer
play
of...
play basketball all the time.
Yeah. You guys are there. You just need to add muscle. You don't have to get rid of the layer of fat like I do. You guys have to add muscle, and that's it.
Sandy, no, you sound like you're walking around at like three bills or something, you know?
I wear shirts that hide it very well. You'd be surprised what's under here.
It's all an illusion.
I think there's a lot more to a six-pack. I think it's extreme fitness.
All right. Well, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
So forget I ever said anything.
I don't know.
Eating a jar of peanut butter or jelly or whatever is not going to be doing it for us? Yeah.
I don't know, Maggie, you're in really good shape, but...
I used to be. I'm not so much anymore.
So, did you do a lot of ab workouts when you worked out a lot?
Yeah, I did, and I never got a six-pack. So, I think if I couldn't do it then, okay. I don't know if I could do it now.
Yeah, I'm not even close.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, Leonard Floyd, listen, do I look like him with my shirt off? A little bit.
Sure.
In a sense, I have two arms and a belly button. That's about it.
Do we also need to get the prescription on your glasses maybe tweaked just a little? All right, Leonard Floyd sides with the Bills. And you guys know I'm a big-time Buffalo Bills fan. I have been my entire life. And I am very happy from a team-building perspective that if there was some money to spend, we're not exactly sure how much he's getting paid, that they put this money into Leonard Floyd as opposed to DeAndre Hopkins. Now, I don't know if Hopkins is still on the table for the Bills, but in terms of team-building, I'm glad they are addressing more pass rush. You know, Floyd, great outside linebacker. They gave Ed Oliver an extension over the weekend, a five-year extension. He's a defensive tackle who was a top 10 draft pick for them. But I like this idea.
Yeah.
Put your resources on somebody getting to Patrick Mahomes and getting to Joe Burrow, because ultimately that's going to be the difference.
Yeah, no, that's pretty smart. I think you sound like more of a rational fan. The average fan is like, add the skill position player, add the wide receiver. Yeah. You know, I think the argument for Hopkins, though, is the thing I noticed, and correct me if I'm wrong, key games for the Bills, they had trouble getting a first down and controlling the sticks.
Yep.
And that's why they blew so many leads. I think DeAndre Hopkins can be a first down machine. So that'd be good. I mean, I know they drafted Dalton Kincaid to try and be that big slot guy who can do that. But that's one thing. A possession receiver might help Josh Allen sort of calm down and get more 10-yard plays instead of going for 40-yard plays.
Listen, I also think that's play calling, though. I don't know if that's necessarily personnel. You don't, after you go incomplete on first and 10, you don't have to dial up a 40-yard, you know, like down the field strike to Gabe Davis on second and 10. And then all of a sudden you've got to, you know, hand the ball off on third and 10 and then you're punting. Like, well, maybe you don't have to call that game.
Maybe if you have Hopkins, you'll be more inspired to do more of a mid-range passing game because they don't do much of it now.
No, they don't do almost any of it now.
Here's the other question. The Bills have been drafting all these defensive ends. Gregory Rousseau from Miami, Boogie Basham, AJ Espinosa,
I believe.
Epinesa. Is this an acknowledgement that they might have failed with those draft picks?
I think it's an acknowledgement, let's just say for Rousseau and for Basham, that, hey, it's year three and, like, got to see a little bit more from these guys. Now, granted, everyone's life gets a lot easier when Von Miller is healthy. So I think just save Von Miller, though. There should be no rush at all to bring him back. And maybe I'll regret saying that because the AFC East is now so stacked. They start off the season against the Jets. I mean, there's going to be very few easy games on the schedule. But I think you hold off on Von. Floyd is kind of an insurance policy here. And these guys have to step up. Look, they're just paid Ed Oliver. And they're showing everybody, if we drafted you and you play well, we're going to pay you. And I love when teams do that, but they got to earn it first. They have not.
Yeah. I don't know. It still feels like something's missing from this team. Part of it is, too, I think the AFC East, I think everyone's a little more down on the Bills this year, which doesn't mean anything necessarily because the expectations were huge last year and nothing really happened. I do worry about everybody catching up to them, especially in that division.
Well, okay, here's the question. Are the Bills still, are they the number one threat to the Chiefs? I think definitely the Bengals have taken that mantle.
Yeah,
right?
They don't feel like, you know, just eye test, no, it's the Bengals.
The Bengals are definitely
the number one. But the Bengals don't feel head and shoulders above everybody else. They feel like they're in the mix.
Well, I mean, they really kicked the Bills' ass in the playoffs, but
But I feel like the Bengals could struggle with the Ravens next year, too. So you never know. That's what I mean. That's the other thing. The Bills, you talk about them as a threat to the Chiefs. What about the Jets and the Dolphins?
I think the Jets and the Dolphins, and I'll even add in the Patriots. I don't think, I know. This is always where you and I are going to differ because I have scar tissue over Belichick and you just don't.
I mean, they're going to be between 7 and 9 wins for the rest of eternity. There's no reason to worry about the Patriots.
It's okay. Did you see Mac Jones is winning back the trust of the building?
But I mean, I do think Aaron Rodgers seems like a much bigger problem to me.
Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, definitely the Dolphins, but obviously Tua's health. And then I think it is the Ravens, and I think it is the Browns, and I think the Steelers are, you know, don't have losing seasons. And when are the Chargers going to put it together? So there's a lot of threats coming.
Yeah, see, I don't
What about Denver this year? What if Russell and Peyton really have a great... Listen, if Russell and Peyton are going to be good together, I think it's year one where it's like, oh, man, gangbusters. You know, okay. They look excellent.
Yeah, I just don't think that the Bills last year felt like either one... But ahead of the Chiefs or two, like clearly. I think I picked them to play the Niners in the Super Bowl. I was sure of it. Felt so good after the year before. So now they just feel like they're in the mix. They're in the big jumble of teams.
Yep, they might be. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. So that was just some of the over the weekend NFL stuff that was going on. Shockingly light on Rodgers news.
God. I mean...
I was like, man, we haven't heard from this guy in like 24 hours. Can someone go check on him? Do you have to FaceTime him or something? Go back into the darkness?
Oh, man. There was enough hype on him when he was in Green Bay. Now we have all of New York around him. Okay. Does anyone else want to throttle Aaron Rodgers yet? Or is it just me? Sorry, Samter. I know your Jets are the team of the moment.
I'm a Jet fan. I still want to throttle him.
You guys, we haven't even gotten started yet. We're still in the appetizer phase of this Rodgers Jets thing coming up.
That's true.
The one thing no one is talking about when it comes to last night's game, Miami and Denver. We'll get to it in just a moment. Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.